Hey, it's Dr. Jamie, and red light therapy has become the latest trend in bio-optimization and in the beauty space, and you can find red light laser therapy offered at dermatology clinics, promising to reverse the signs of aging in the skin, treat acne, promote scar healing. Red light helps your mitochondria, you guys, and the mitochondria is in the skin cells, and it helps absorb those photons. And if we can remember from high school biology, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. It generates the energy for the cell to perform its functions. Some of the reported benefits of red light therapy include reduction of fine lines and wrinkles, treatment of acne, healing of scars, treatment of seasonal affective disorder, increasing the healing of wounds, reducing painful joint inflammation, and increasing the recovery time between your strenuous workouts. If you want the red light I'm using, you're going to want to shop Cozy Red Lights. At Cozy, they offer simple, non-invasive at-home red light therapy devices that are easy to use and effective. Their devices emit 660 to 850 nanometers of red light and near-infrared waves that are clinically proven to penetrate deep into the skin to exert effects on a cellular level. You can use my code DRFIT, D-R-F-I-T, to start your red light journey today. Go check out the Cozy Red Lights. To the Fit and Fabulous podcast with Dr. Jamie Seaman. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Jamie, and welcome back to the Fit and Fabulous podcast. I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty excited about today's guest, and I know my husband is because Susan Bratton is on the Fit and Fabulous podcast today, and my husband and I have been following her for a while. She is a sexpert, and you guys probably know I put something up in the Instagram stories asking you for all your questions, and let me just tell you, you all submitted some really good stuff, and we are going to get to a lot of it. So please let me introduce you guys, Susan Bratton. She is an intimacy expert to millions. She's a champion. She's an advocate for those that desire intimacy and passion their whole life long. She's the co-founder and CEO of two corporations, Personal Life Media, a publisher of heart-connected lovemaking techniques and bedroom communication skills, and the 20 LLC, which manufactures organic and botanical supplements that enhance sexual vitality. She's a best-selling author, publisher of 34 books. I don't know how you have time. I've only done one, Susan. And programs including Sexual Soulmates, Relationship Magic, Revive Her Drive, Ravish Him, Steamy Sex Ed, The Passion Patch, Hormone Balancing, and Hot to Trot. Susan, welcome to the Fit and Fabulous podcast.
Jamie, I'm so glad that you sent out all those requests for questions to your fans and followers, because literally asking me for sex advice is like feeding me grass-fed, pasture-raised burger after I worked out really hard.
You're speaking my language. You're speaking my language now. I love it.
Like I did bunch of tire flips and now you're giving me a burger. Yeah.
Well, I couldn't be more excited for this conversation because I work as an OBGYN. So I see women all day long. And, you know, even as an OBGYN, we don't get taught a lot about we know sexual function. We know how to try to find pathology, right? But I talk to these women all day long who are having problems in the bedroom, and I don't have a lot of great solutions for them. Right. And so I just cannot wait to dive into some of these things. And I think it affects men and women differently and in the same ways. And you are a fixer. That's what you told me. You're a fixer. And that's what these listeners want. That's what they want. Okay. So we're going to dive right in, you guys. And Susan doesn't know this, but I end all my podcasts with something called the semen analysis, because my last name is Seaman. It's such a great name for an OBGYN. And I usually pull like some study that's interesting. We'll see if we get to it. It's about women achieving better sensation with vaginal penetration. So we'll see if we get to it.
Yeah, but I saw that study.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to start out because this is probably one of the biggest questions I get asked. I see these women in clinic. They go through, their marriage is amazing. Things are great. They have their first baby and everything changes. So one of the questions people submitted was how to keep things hot postpartum.
Yeah. It's one of the biggest life stage sexual issues. If you think about your sexuality and you have attention on your sexuality and you care about it, because not everyone does, Jamie, you go through these different stages, your 20s, it's all new and you're just kind of exploring and some of it can be kind of not so great, but mostly it's interesting because it's also fresh and novel. In your 30s, you're really working on your career, you're having your children, you're super busy. Thank God you still have a lot of energy. And yet it is difficult with little kids in the house to keep your sex life going. So I have some tips, but I want to finish off kind of the stages because I want people to understand that this is a short-term thing. You will get through, and I have some solutions for it. Because by the time you get in your 40s, you actually start thinking you've got a little more time, your kids are a little more established, you've got some free time. And if you and your partner have withered and you still find them attractive and they haven't made you crazy, you're thinking to yourself, boy, I'd like to explore more sexuality. The 40s are really a time for a lot of women's sexual awakening. And you'd think, God, that's midlife. They're getting into perimenopause. Maybe it is all going downhill from there. Mostly it's going up. And women are much more willing to try new things. They're letting go of body image issues. Like they can't beat themselves up over their imperfections anymore because it's all downhill from here. In a way, not really. I think women are beautiful our entire lives. I look at my mother at 85 and she's still just lovely. So the fit and fabulous lasts forever with good exercise. You hit your 50s and you're like, wow, I'm whiffing the scent of my mortality. I better get busy and really learn some excellent techniques and have some orgasmic experiences. In your 60s, you're like, I'm pretty good. I'm good at sex now and I'm having a good time. But then in the 50s and 60s, your genital systems start to atrophy. And so you have to begin to use sexual regenerative treatments to remediate and reverse the atrophic losses, incontinence, loss of lubrication, vaginal friability, laxity for your partners, erectile dysfunction, delayed ejaculation. You know, these things happen, but they're all fixable. I'm a sexual biohacker. I teach people how to reverse aging of the genitals. And then by the time you're in your 70s and 80s, if you've taken great care of yourself, you've really settled into a nice, pleasurable state of confidence, relaxation, skill. And if you focused on your orgasmic potential, because we can have 20 different kinds of orgasms. So you can spend your life learning how to have all of them, orgasms from intercourse, G-spot pleasuring, female ejaculation for the men, prostate pleasuring, blended orgasms, male multiple orgasms. I mean, there's so many different types of things you can do that by the time you get to be an old critter like me in my 60s, you're having the best sex of your life because you've taken care of your genitals and you've incremented your skills. So your 30s are this time of having babies around the house. And the single most important thing to do is to don't think about having sex as in intercourse. This is where we go off the rails because when women feel like they are pressured to have sex, AKA intercourse, they just aren't there and they don't want to do it. And so they kind of shy away from their partners and they don't want to lead them on because they're just like, I'm just not really feeling it. So what I recommend is that a couple establish something called erotic play dates together. And what this will do is get you over that hump of when you have those little kids constantly banging on the door and driving you crazy. Erotic play dates kind of reframe sex, quote unquote, into let's have sexy, intimate, fun times together that may or may not lead to intercourse. We'll do the best we can do, but we're fighting for our intimate connection. And so this is where you begin to do things like G-spot awakening. You learn yoni and lingam massage. Yoni and lingam are the tantric lovemaking words for the vulva and the penis and testicles. So my little yoni, I like to call it. Although mine's giant. And so it's been all stretched out. Not really. There's no, you cannot stretch your vagina out. Literally, you cannot. It is a muscle. If you have good muscular tone, it's just, it goes right back. I'm just being silly. So I don't want people to take what I say.
It can push a baby through it and come back.
You can get that giant head out and it snaps right back. So yeah, it's fine. So I put together most recently. So what I've done over my two-decade career, because this is my second career, I had a sexual awakening in my early 40s and said, I'm a tech person. I need to get all of the things that I've learned online so that people all over the world can download these techniques and bedroom communication skills and learn what I learned, because it was a renaissance in my marriage and sex life. After a decade of having intercourse with my husband, I didn't want to do it anymore because I wasn't having orgasms from intercourse. And I thought I was just the kind of woman who couldn't do it. So he thought I was just the kind of woman who couldn't do it. And it turns out all women can have orgasms from intercourse, and all orgasms are learned skills, and you simply need to know what to do. And that's what I teach people. And much of my programs are free. So if you're sitting here right now going, boy, I wish I could have an orgasm from intercourse, that would sure make it more happy for me to have sex with my husband. Go to my website, personallifemedia.com, type in orgasms from intercourse, penetration orgasms, penis and vagina sex. And I have tons of articles on how to do what I call crossing the gasm chasm, which is closing the orgasm gap that Dr. Lori Mintz spoke about so eloquently in her TED talk. I loved the term because it's how easy it is for guys and how much more difficult it is for women when they don't know the simple things that make the difference. And so it really comes down to, in a nutshell, engorgement, blood flow. We're going to come back to blood flow so much in this conversation. It's ridiculous. So in your 30s, think about doing different things, yoni massage, mutual masturbation. Sometimes you just don't have time to get prepped to be penetrated, but you can still pleasure yourself. Your partner can pleasure himself. You can find new things to do. You can try yoni massage, G-spot awakening. You can try to have more breast play. You can do sensual massage. I mean, there's so many things. So I created this download with 48 erotic playdate ideas. It's called Your Sex Life Bucket List. And what's fun is that it's basically a downloadable PDF, and it helps you, and it comes with a video. I give this away for free. It comes with a video where I walk you through the 48 ideas. If you sit there with your partner one, you know, over an evening or something, it's only 40-minute video, better than watching a TV show together. And I walk you through all the things, and you put an A next to the ones you really want to do, a B next to the ones you'd do if your partner wanted to do them, and a C for the things that are not for you right now. Then you end up with your two lists, you merge your lists, and then you've got some new things to do that aren't just, we're going to have sex, because men are always ready to go, testosterone dominant, they masturbate every day, they wake up with morning wood if they're healthy. We women are on a 28-day cycle. We could have sex anytime, but we at an arousal, at a fundamental arousal level, are behind our guys. They're ahead of us. They're also singularly focused. They could have sex anywhere, anytime, in 2 minutes. It takes us a while to get out of our heads and into our bodies to calm and relax so our arousal can begin. It takes us 20 to 30 minutes to get fully engorged. So often, if we're rushing to sex as an intercourse sex, not just all the other things you can do, we don't have time to get fully engorged. And then we don't have the pleasure that our partners are having. And then we start not wanting sex. For example, my husband will not give me a quickie. If I mention it, he'll be like, I'm not giving you a quickie. Every time I give you a quickie, your yoni gets her nose out of joint. It's too fast for you. You need more time. We never make love without a yoni massage first. I've got to get all that blood flow in my vulva before I am ready, relaxed, and open for penetration. And so it's really about dialing it back, slowing down, and having a greater landscape of possibilities of mutual pleasure together.
I love the way that you frame that, you know, for like a postpartum mom, just like reestablishing that intimate connection. And it's not just about having sex, because So many women, when I say, you know, is your sexual function normal? In their brain, the first thing they're saying is, well, my husband wants to have sex all the time and I don't. And yeah, it's okay. But I think that they're basing it all off the number of times that they have penis and vagina intercourse.
Yes.
And the imbalance in that relationship. And then the fact that you mentioned there are some women who have not achieved orgasm through penetration. And so why would you want to have an activity that you don't find pleasurable? Like, who wants to participate that? It's not that they don't desire it. They're just having bad sex. Yep. So let's kind of get back to that and maybe give some of our listeners some tips or tricks. Cause I've had women who have said, I don't think I've ever orgasmed.
Yeah. Okay. So that's super easy. Orgasms are a learned skill. And I really think the best on-ramp is to do something I call orgasmic cross training. Now, I've been very fortunate to come from a lineage of incredible mentors in the sexual, in essentially the heart-connected, passionate lovemaking area of sexuality. That's my quote-unquote brand of sex, is deep, heart-connected, super pleasurable, surrendered bliss. That's what I like to co-create with my lovers. And when women haven't had orgasms, what I recommend is that they start with this cross-training concept using 21st century technology, which is, there's five vibrators, five sex toys I recommend every woman have in her pleasure chest, and that she rotates between them. And a lot of women are like, boy, I don't know, I don't get any privacy, I don't have time for it. I really encourage you to explore mutual masturbation. I'll tell you something, the other night, my husband, and I'm going to show you the five toys and I'm going to tell you why I picked them. But I want to give you an example because I like to show you where you're going. I jokingly call myself an orgasmonaut. I go to the far reaches of orgasmic outer space and come back with the map to the territory for you. So you can be like, oh, is that what she does? I can do that. Because I think that's what we need. The other night, my husband and I, he gave me a yoni massage. First, I needed a back rub. And then he gave me a butt rub and a hip rub because we got stuck in our car for too long one day and I was jacked up. So you can't really relax if something hurts. So he gave me a back rub. He flipped me over and he gave me a belly rub. Then I wanted him to rub my mons and outer labia. And then he went into my inner labia and he started to go into the vestibule, the opening to the vagina, the entryway to the vagina, not the vagina itself. And I was like, I don't know, babe. I think that I don't really feel like being penetrated tonight. It just feels like too much for me. I just need to be sovereign tonight. And he said, okay, well, do you mind if I masturbate? And I said, no, please do. And so I snuggled under the covers next to him while he masturbated. And he said, can I tell you a dirty story while I masturbate? And I was like, of course you can. I love your dirty stories. So he was telling me a dirty story and he was masturbating. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, shoot. Flip back the covers, grab one of my vibrators, and I start masturbating with him with my vibrator. And then he starts getting close to orgasm, and I take the story over and bring him to a grand finale because I know exactly the kinds of things that really, really turn him on. I've been married to him for 31 years, and we have such a free flow of conversation. And so then we both had great orgasms. I threw my vibrator on the bedside table and conked out, and he was happy and I was happy. I mean, that was fun. The next morning he get up and he was like, that was really fun. And I was like, yeah, it was really fun. And so I want you to get there too with your partner because they like to masturbate. They should be masturbating in front of you. They shouldn't be furtively hiding that away. That's going to make them become premature ejaculators. It gives them shame about their desire. Men are horny and they need to have a movement of fluid. So when I tell women, have five different kinds of vibrators, these are the ones I tell them to have.
So our YouTube people get to see what Susan's showing, but all you people listening, you just have to use your imagination. We'll be descriptive.
Well, yeah. And you can, and I'll tell you what too, Jamie, I will give you links to all these for your show notes because Perfect. Women are always like, what were the things again? How do I find them? So, don't worry about that. Go to YouTube or where the podcast is. There'll be links to these for you. The five types of sex toys. They're not all vibrators. The five types of sex toys that you should use for orgasmic cross training. Just start rolling them into your repertoire. Give yourself a little orgasm before you hop in the shower in the morning. Give yourself one before you go to bed. You know, these are the ways that you begin to awaken new neural pathways of the tissue in your vulva to your biggest sex organ, which is your brain. And that's what wakes up your vulva and makes you orgasmic. When you focus just on the clitoral tip, you're not going to have the quality and quantity of orgasms solo or with a partner that you could if you do this, these tools that are going to get everything going. That's what you want. You want an activated, awakened, orgasmic yoni, and it can always get better. So the first one is an air stimulator. This is the most common. It's kind of like a clitoris sucker, and it's a womanizer. This is really good, but it's very clitoral focused, which is good, but we're expanding sensation beyond just the tip of your clitoris. We want to go beyond that, but this is great for women who've never had an orgasm, and it will get you over the hump, number one. Number two, some women much prefer more of what is called a licker style. And this is the Volta from Fun Factory. And this is like a motorboat for your clitoral structure. And what I like about this is that as you generate more orgasmic pleasure, your clitoris begins to swell with blood flow. And you can actually put the shaft of your clitoris, not just the tip of your clitoris, in these, between these two little fronds that tickle your fancy. So this is a very good one. The third thing that I recommend is something that's considered to be a rabbit, but don't buy those rabbits on Amazon. They have plasticizers and phthalates in them, which leach into your vaginal mucosa and are endocrine disruptors and toxins by good quality toys. This one is called the lady. This is called the Miss Bi from Fun Factory. Bi means two in German. It's a German, it's like the Porsche of sex toys. And it has two motors in it. There's also a Lady Bi, which is bigger. I like the Lady Bi because I like deeper penetration. Now that I'm older, I've kind of worked my way up to wanting even more depth of penetration, cervical orgasms and things like that. So the Miss Bi has two motors. One is outside for the on the pad of the clitoral area, the vestibule, the urethral sponge that shows inside the vestibule, as well as the clitoral shaft and glands. This part goes intravaginally and stimulates the G-spot and the anterior fornix, which are, so you're getting 1, 2, 3, 4 different types of stimulation. This is also good for women who haven't had intercourse for a while and they feel like they're fused shut. This is also very good for women with laxity because they need more engorgement of the vaginal mucosa to stimulate blood flow, to plump the tissue up, to increase lubrication and reduce laxity. So that's a really good one.
Susan, one thing with that one, as I'm looking at it, because I'm a gynecologist, you know, one thing I've noticed with sex toys is some of them really are too short for most women. They can, if they get it to a point where they're getting good anterior vaginal wall, you know, stimulation, then the clitoral part isn't reaching where it needs to reach. So I think it's something where women need to kind of know their own anatomy, because there are people that need something longer and deeper, especially people who have had babies and things like that.
That's why the Lady Bi is about this long.
Yeah.
And that's the one I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm charging up all my toys right now. And I just grabbed the small one. I could have grabbed the big one too, but that's why I always say there's two options for you on this Miss Bi or Lady Bi.
Perfect. Yeah. I just wanted to point that out.
Bingo. Exactly. Now this one is really interesting for those women who also are really trying to regenerate their vaginas themselves. This is called a pulsator or thruster. This is also a Fun Factory toy. And what it does is use a magnet system where you can insert it into the vagina and it stimulates all that tissue hands-free. You don't even have to hold this thing. It just stays in you. It has a G-spot bump, so it stimulates the urethral sponge, which is one of the three erectile tissue systems in your vagina. You want to get them all stimulated, not just the tip of the clit. You want to get the whole clitoral structure, the shaft, the glands, the crura, the vestibular bulbs, as well as the urethral structure, as well as the perineal structure, because then your entire vaginal canal is engorged. All of the tissue around the vagina gets engorged with blood. It expands and it sends massively more signals of pleasure to your brain, helping you cross the gasm chasm. So this pulsator or thruster is a very nice product, and you can always add a vibrator to the clitoris at the same time. You're allowed to use two toys at the same time. So this one's good. The next is G-spot stimulation. The G-spot is not a spot. It's a long tube. I think I have a picture of it here. It's a long tube. I should show you a couple of pictures for our YouTube fans. Let me get it out here. I've got a lot of vulval pictures here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you brought up another point I kind of want to reinforce is that, you know, we have the vagina, we have the clitoris, but I think people forget about all this other, you know, arousal zone, this erogenous tissue where, you know, what you're talking about. And that's why metabolic health is so important, because we need blood flow, we need nerves, we need all of these things. And so if you're not taking care of yourself, some of these things don't work like they're supposed to. And that really could be affecting your sexual intimacy.
Perfect. Chef's kiss, Jamie.
Yeah.
Of course, this is the vulva. This is
vulva,
the
people, not vagina. Vulva. That's a
vulva.
Vulva
is all the parts. Outside. And that's why I also like yoni, Y-O-N-I, because it's all the parts. That's what we want to do, is we want to activate everything. You want to get off of clitoral tip focus and you want to get onto vulva activation.
Love it.
So mons, outer labia, clitoral hood turns into inner labia, culminates in fourchette at the bottom near the perineum. The opening is called the vestibule. Inside the vestibule is where your urine comes out. That's the urethral exit. It's also G-spot number two. There's a little bit of spongy tissue around here that loves to be stimulated. So a nice finger inside the vestibule before penetration into what is called the vaginal sphincter or introital sphincter, which is a round muscle, and then into the vagina, perineum, and anus. I'm going to peel the skin off and show you all the buried treasure you have underneath. These are custom illustrations that I've had made.
Amazing. Yeah.
They're so good. This is your clitoris, your G-spot or urethral sponge, and your perineal sponge. So here's the tip, the shaft, the arms called crura. They actually kind of curve back in up toward the inside of your body. This is the vestibular bulbs. They're underneath the fur on each side of the opening to your vagina, and they love to plump up like little pillows. This is the urethral sponge, zhoop, or G-spot, that runs along the top of the inside of the vagina, but also presents itself on the face inside the vestibule. And here's the perineal sponge. We don't know as much about this yet. We're still learning, but this is a spongy tissue between the bottom of the vagina and the rectum. And so if you look now, there's the vagina completely embraced. I call it the golden bracelet of engorged erectile tissue. This is why you can have an orgasm from intercourse without even touching the tip of the clitoris. Because once this is full of blood, you're getting all this wonderful tissue stimulated by the penis and the vagina. So it's really important to understand what you're going for here, I think. So the next thing is the G-spot. You could use a G-spot vibrator, or you could use a G-spot wand, and they're pointy. They go up. Essentially, when you're stroking your G-spot, you want to go up and around and hook out kind of toward your pubic bone. You want to almost curve your fingers up. That's why these go, they curve up inside you, because that sponge, that tube of tissue, is kind of right up on the top of the cave. It's almost like you curve around and go back forward again. That loves pressure. And G-spot awakening will release much of your, if you've had traumas and upsets sexually, and really who hasn't? It's a minefield, sexuality. It'll release all of that and your whole G-spot will soften over time. You'll let out a lot of emotion and then you'll move into incredible pleasure. And last but not least, I think I got them all. So I did air stimulator, liquor, rabbit internal, external. I did G-spot. Oh, and I did pulsator. So there's your five different options. And then of course you always have any kind of big or little vibrator anywhere you want it to go. A big one is nice to go around on all the outer labia and mons to get that. The more you get that mons to go from tight and stiff to like jelly, almost gelatinous, it will literally, your labia and your mons will literally be like jello when you get it stimulated. And then all the fluids can really run and move into your vaginal area. And that's what really helps you with full pleasure.
I love that. So this is like foreplay. And I talk to women about that all the time. Yeah. So I've had patients that have, I've brought up sex toys, masturbation and these types of things. And I can see it in their face and their body language immediately. They're like, oh God, like I would never try that. Or they're very open to it. And they're like, yeah, my partner has never been open to bringing those types of things in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. You know, they're intimidated. What do you say for somebody that is just curious about these things, but mm-hmm. have never purchased one, never bought one, never tried one, and they want to start incorporating this and their partner isn't quite as receptive?
Yeah. Two things. Number one, everything is a learned skill. You're on a journey. Now you've heard about it. It's interesting to you. I want you to move forward and try it. And if your partner is resistant, it's because they're afraid. They're afraid that they're not enough. They're afraid that they'll be replaced. They're afraid they're not doing a good job. This is especially male-bodied partners. They want to be respected mm-hmm. for the work they've done. They want to win and they don't want to be replaced. You have to reassure them and let them know that what you're doing is activating your vulva so you have more pleasure with them. And so really it's just a process of education because resistance is fear and fear is lack of knowledge. And that's all it is. And you can do it.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So I had somebody send in a question saying, I know you have a lot of female followers, but let's talk about the men. They asked about the P-spot. What are other ways that men and maybe female partners don't know about these things? How can we help our male partners experience more pleasure?
Yeah. So when couples do the sex life bucket list, which I think I mentioned, right? I mentioned
earlier,
sex life, but that's at sexlifebucketlist.com. If you can put that in the show notes so people can find it, I'd really appreciate it. I always ask, as many people as I can, well, what was on your bucket list? And women usually say, I want orgasms from intercourse. I want yoni massage. I want G-spot awakening. I want to learn about female ejaculation. And then they have all the fun little things that they want to do too. Role play, you know, lingerie photo shoots, all kinds of cute stuff, mutual masturbation, things like that. But men, what men always say to me is, number one, I want to do whatever's on her list. Because they're here to pleasure the goddess and they darn well know it. And they love it. They want to give us our pleasure. Number two, they're interested in their prostate and P-spot orgasms. They've heard about it and they're interested in it. Number three, men want to learn how to become multi-orgasmic. They want to become men who can have full body male multiple energy orgasms in their body without ejaculation, because ejaculation and orgasm are separate functions in the body. Men can have lots of orgasms before they ejaculate and they can ejaculate when they want to. They can learn what I like to call ejaculatory choice. So P-spot orgasms are right up there on the top of the list for them, like yoni massage and penetration intercourse orgasms are for us. And the P-spot is very much like the G-spot right inside his rectum up toward his belly. It's a little walnut feeling thing and it provides incredible pleasure. And honestly, when he has P-spot orgasms, it's very good for him because the number one thing that women suffer from as they age is incontinence and men suffer from nighttime urination, BPH. Mm-hmm. So unless you're the kind of woman who wants to like put on a glove and digitally, you know, stimulate him, which many women are really totally willing to do that. And I always recommend pop on a nice tight nitrile glove, a size small, get that on there because it's so easy to pull it right off and throw it in the trash can. And it feels good. It feels really smooth, which is nice too. But I also really like the prostate massage tools. And there's a particular tool I really love, and it's called the Plex, P-L-E-X, by Hot Octopus with two S's. I'll give you links for everything. Don't worry. And what I love about it is that it's a vibrating prostate tool with a very flared base. That's beautiful silicone. It's super easy for him to insert it himself. And then there's this little wristwatch type of thing. There's this little wristband with a remote control on it. So one of the most fun things in the world is for you to get on top of your man, missionary style. This is called cowgirl, woman on top, facing him. You've got the controller, and you can slowly turn it up while you're making love to him, and he's worshiping and adoring you and telling you how much he loves you and stimulating your breast tissue and playing with your nipples, and you're kissing and making out. That's hot. And it's super fun. And you're going to give him the most powerful ejaculation that he's ever had in his life. And he'll be wandering around behind you like a little love-struck doggy for weeks after you do it. So this is a really nice couples experience that you could have together, just as one example of something that could go on your erotic play dates.
Is there any way to stimulate that tissue without going inside the rectum? Is there scrotal? Is there something like that?
In the perineum, behind the testicles, before the anus, is the perineum. And you can do that, but it's half.
Not as good.
It's kind of like when a guy is stimulating your vulva and he's completely missing your clitoris. It's kind of a little annoying for most men. It might be all he wants, and it's a great place to start. But I would say, don't be afraid to explore your back door.
Yeah. So I've had female patients ask about this too. You know, you kind of showed this picture, and it seems like a lot of that erogenous arousal tissue is more anterior on the front side of the vagina.
Yeah.
But you kind of had alluded to the fact that this perineal tissue obviously is very close to the anus.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of women are very enervated in the anal area. Their nerve system is very close to, where our nerves run is not all exactly the same. We have variations on the theme. And for some women, anal pleasuring really increases their overall pleasure, and they really enjoy anal sex. For other women, it's like, I could take it or leave it. I really like vaginal penetration. It's just what I prefer. So the Plex works on her as well, and he can control it. So I think it's a really good tool for both partners to take turns using. Just a good soap and water, and you can switch.
I was just about to say, can you give people a little tip or advice about cleaning their toys? And, you know, because I see women with lots of infections and things like this from not taking care of them. What's kind of the basics of taking care of these toys that you've showed us?
It's good soap and water. I mean, there, if you're using things that can be boiled, you could boil them, such as a dildo. But generally, it's just nice hot water, soapy water, soap it up. I like triple soaping. I always think triple wash is the way to go. I also recommend that you make sure that you triple wash your hands before sex, and you really wash your genitals before sex. And I am also really against oral pleasuring the anal area, because, you know, rimming, eating I don't like that, because there's too much possibility of transferring parasites and bacteria. It's not clean. If you're going to do it, use Saran wrap or a dental dam, if that's something that you're into. But there, porn has really promulgated so many of these things that people are doing that are just dirty, Jamie. They're dirty. Don't do them. Granny says.
What about oral sex?
Oral's fantastic. What you want to make sure of is that your partners are getting regular dental cleanings, and that their oral microbiome is very good health. So that requires periodontal cleanings and things like that on a frequent basis. 2 to 3 times a year is very good, and making sure that their oral and their gastrointestinal microbiomes are in good health. So because you can transfer bacteria. Yeah. And the vaginal microbiome is a very, very delicate thing. I don't have to tell you, Jamie, this is what you fix all day long. So one of the things that you can do is you can use an irrigator, a douche bottle with water in it after oral pleasuring, and kind of rinse everything out before you move to penetration. There's nothing wrong with getting up and rinsing things off. And then I also tell women, get the women's probiotics, open them up. And pour one in, open a capsule, pour it in your hand, put a little Kathy's Healing Lotion or a little organic or refined avocado oil or sweet almond oil, make a paste and paste it in your vagina. And then in the next morning, rinse it out with your irrigator. And that can reestablish good microbiome in your vagina without you having to take antibiotics and go to these draconian things that are kind of like a nuclear bomb in your system. So boron and suppositories and things like that can almost always reverse early stage vaginal dysbiosis. And last but not least, don't use coconut oil as a lubricant. Use a nut oil such as avocado, refined, because if it's unrefined, it's green and it stains your sheets and lingerie, or sweet almond oil. Those are very good because they, I always say, if you wouldn't put it in your mouth, don't put it in your vagina. It's two ends of the same basic tube, and it's going to absorb anything you put in there. And off the shelf lubricants have to have preservatives in them, which means they're mostly a bunch of chemicals. And so I think you're better off just using straight up nut oils for your yoni massages, for your lubricants, etc.
Why not coconut oil?
It's a natural antibacterial and it disrupts the vaginal microbiome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with that. Okay. Had someone asking about what is the liquid that comes out when women orgasm? So you kind of alluded to like female ejaculation, but they kind of said, this is a big debate. Cause I had somebody, I know you went on Luke Cook's podcast and we talked about this too. Is it pee or is it ejaculate or what is it?
Yeah. I love Luke Cook, man. That guy is so fun. Isn't he?
Love him.
He's such a doll. I love his new baby, Ozzy. They're so cute, aren't they?
So cute.
Oh my God. Adorbs. Totes adorbs. So I showed you earlier that the urethral sponge, the G-spot, is a long tube, like a pool noodle. And this is what it looks like close up. And the green, so this is a long tube with a little rosebud at the end that is outside the vagina. It goes into your body and it has these little glands called Skene's glands in it. Now, what's interesting is that if you think about the pelvic bowl, what happens when you get aroused is that blood starts to go down to the pelvic bowl. As you get older, you get less and less blood flow because it's not just your hormones that lower your libido. It's the loss of lubrication. And that also makes the tissue it can be painful to have sex. You need a lot of lubrication. And sometimes exogenous lube, just oils and things can help, but sometimes you just need to have more lubrication yourself. I want to make the distinction between the different kinds of fluids that come out of the vagina and out of the urethra and what they are, because it's kind of a mystery to a lot of women. So our vagina, as we talked about earlier, is a big stretchy muscle. It's not a gland. And so it doesn't self-lubricate. You've got to get blood flow to the pelvic bowl. Then the blood plasma seeps through the vaginal mucosa and it wets the lining of the vagina. Now, there's two things. Number one, as you age, you need to start taking a nitric oxide booster so that you have more ability to move the blood down into the pelvic bowl. I have a sexual vitality supplement company. It's called The 20. And the very first product I made was called Flow. And it is a nitric oxide booster made from organic fruits and vegetables. I'll give you a link to put in. It's Buy Flow Now, BuyFlowNow. It's ground zero for anything that you want to do at over 40. You got to start taking a booster because that's what's going to help you with your wetness, especially. So the vagina gets lubricated from the blood flow. So does female ejaculation. All women can ejaculate. It is not urine, but it comes out of the same tube, which is why people think it's urine. What happens is your blood plasma flows in, it's recruited into these Skene's glands that saturate the urethra. The urethra fills with fluid. And when you have a contraction, it ejaculates, it comes out of where your pee-pee comes out. If I tell you, men urinate and ejaculate out of the same tube, you're like, right, they do. Men don't urinate in us when they have orgasms. They ejaculate. Our body has a little muscle that closes and opens that determines which thing comes out. So there might be a tiny little bit of urine in semen. It's not bothering us. It's the same with women. We urinate and ejaculate out of our urethral tube. Our body has a little muscle that knows how to manage which thing comes out. So it's very, very simple, and it's a very pleasurable experience for women. You can have more fluid released from the vagina as you're ejaculating as well, and you can release small amounts of fluid. You can release what looks like a liter of fluid. And so it's all normal. It all feels pleasurable. And female ejaculation, I liken it to an orgasm and a good cry had a baby. It's so rebooting and nurturing, and women are very interested in having the experience. Some women do it naturally, most don't, and it's a learned skill.
Okay, I love that. I love that. Okay, so somebody, a few different people asked this question about what is the normal amount to have sex per month? And somebody said, I'm 26 and engaged. Another man said he was in his 50s. I think people are very interested to know how often everyone else is doing these things.
Yeah. I don't even like the question. Why would you worry what everyone else is doing? Mm-hmm. The bedroom is your private time. What you do behind closed doors is your decision. And I want you to stop thinking about sex as intercourse. How often do people have sex means how many times do they have an intercourse? And men want it more than women do because they're trying to have too much intercourse before they give us the arousal, the affection, the holding, the relaxation that we need. If they'd slow down, turn around, and pleasure us the way we need and get the blood flow into our genitals, we'd be begging them for sex. So we've got to move from this patriarchal, even women who ask this question, they're under a patriarchal umbrella and perspective. They're under the patriarchal frame of sex, which is it's penis and vagina. And I want us to think about having matriarchal sex, because daddy wants what mommy wants. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So let's start having matriarchal sex, which is erotic play dates, expanding the palette of what is pleasurable, having a lot of fun in the bedroom, having erotic adventures together, learning new skills together. It'll all lead to more intercourse, but we have to shift our mindset. So how many erotic play dates a week would be fun for you? That's my answer.
I love that. That's great. Okay. A few questions about, having other partners, you know, outside of just a monogamous relationship. How do people navigate that?
Yeah. Well, the very first thing that's most important is that you have to understand what your rules and boundaries are. Having extracurricular partners can be so much fun. I mean, there are a lot of people who want to have a primary partner. They want to be married. They want to have kids. They want to have a life together. And they want to have other sexual experiences either with their partner in, you know, together or separately. And that is perfectly normal. And more people are doing it as people expand their possibilities. But the most important thing is that if you're in a relationship, you must make sure that your relationship with your partner is good. So until you have excellent communication and you're very good together in bed, don't go looking outside the relationship for that fulfillment. Work on what you have first. And then understanding the rules of engagement and not breaking them is very important, but also remembering that making love with other people expands your horizons. It's super fun. It can be a real joy, a real pleasure. It can be really happy. And probably the single most important rule is when you're playing with others, if you're feeling left out, It's your job to speak up and say, oh, I'm feeling a little left out right now. And everyone else in that group is like, oh, honey, come here. Let's put our attention on you. I think that really helps. You must be able to speak up for yourself. And then you can have incredible times. And one of the things that I recommend is when couples play together, that they consider people of the female sex and the female gender and the male gender or gender spectrum, whatever is your jam. But don't just think that we're going to have a threesome. We're a couple. We're going to have a threesome. So it's going to be another woman. Men need to learn how to work with another straight guy to pleasure their woman together. They're bros coming together to give their gal this incredible experience of whatever it is that she wants. And so I think that ultimately the playing field, if you want it, don't as a woman be afraid to ask for being made love to by two men, because they are profoundly wonderful experiences. And you don't have to feel guilty about wanting that. And if you're the male partner, be open to having that with your woman.
Yeah, you kind of said, you know, it's a minefield and there's certainly a dynamic there that's probably not for everybody. But I mean, I have patients that openly share about their, you know, experiences, and we talk about their sex life and ways to make them safe. My dog even agrees. So I don't know if you can hear Rex in the background. Okay. Somebody asked about the best diet for libido. I mean, we have said, you know, take care of your metabolic health because it makes your sex organs work. But do you have any advice for people? Like, what's the best diet for a healthy sex life?
Yeah. The best diet for a healthy sex life is exactly what you talk about all the time, Jamie. It's the no white flour, no sugar, no alcohol. Try and eat super healthy proteins, healthy fats, all your organic veggies, color of the rainbow. That's what keeps your vascular system good. Work out every day in some way. Work on your balance, your flexibility, your stamina, and your strength. Build more muscle all the time. You're fighting against atrophy.
Yes.
And that's also very important with regard to your gut microbiome, which is a lifelong task, is keeping your microbiome good, because that's where your neurotransmitters and hormones are created. And if you're not pooping like a princess, and I always say, if your poops don't slide out of you and twirl down the toilet like a ballerina, you've got work to do. And with all the hormone disruptors and the toxins in our world and our food and our air and our environment, et cetera, our health and beauty products, we have to mount a consistent resistance against the decimation of living in the 21st century. So when you're in great shape and you can do, you've got strong muscles and you've got lots of stamina and super good mitochondria and great energy, and you're fueled by quality foods, you have an incredible sex life. However, as you age, you will wrinkle and you will get smaller. So you're fighting against the shrinkage, and the shrinkage is called atrophy, and your genitals atrophy as well. And there are two things I want you to think about. One is that you want to keep fighting against aging of your genitals using sexual regenerative therapies. And I'm going to show you a couple really quickly before we go. So that you can understand what it is that you can do to keep your genitals from aging so that they stay like you're 30 years old, so that you have great sexual function your whole life long, so that in your 60s, 70s, and 80s, you're still having the benefits. And there are myriad benefits of great sex. One of the number one ones is that when there was a study that said, let's look at a whole bunch of people and guess their ages. And then one of the people who looked the youngest for their age were the people who were having sex three times a week or more. And that could have just been intimacy, because don't underestimate the benefits of oxytocin and just orgasms without intercourse. But there's this notion of sexual regenerative medicine. And then there's the sexual biohacking, which is taking what you have and making it even better. And that is a distinction for consideration. So for women, what I recommend is take Flow or any nitric oxide, citrulline-based if you're over 40 works better clinically. Take Flow or something to boost your nitric oxide work. Make sure your hormones are in good working order. I, of course, like bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. I'm still on it. I love it. Just before I sat down here, I put estrogen in my vagina. I put testosterone on my clitoris and labia. I take sublingual progesterone. So, you know, I'm for it. And then I really like either or both FemiWave, which is a acoustic wave treatment that's applied outside your vulva. It goes into your mons, your clitoral structure, your perineal structure, your outer labia to plump them up because they get saggy. And it helps with incontinence, lubrication, vaginal friability. It reverses that. And it makes your orgasms intense again. And I have to tell you, I just went through my FemiWave treatments recently, and I am literally so wet, I don't even need to lube to start intercourse. Now, I add it on if I'm going for a while, but I am, and how wet you are isn't correlated to how turned on you are. You can be super turned on and super dry, but when you walk around wet, you feel more turned on. It's so nice. So I love FemiWave. You go to a practitioner for treatments. While you're there, have them give you an O shot or orgasm shot, which is PRP, platelet-rich plasma, injected into the clitoral and urethral structures, the sponges, so that it reverses atrophy and regenerates the tissue. Now you're regenerating everything. You're doing micro damage that doesn't hurt and isn't painful and doesn't make your vagina weep, and it's not burning you like the CO2 lasers and the RF devices. They're so strong. Don't start with that unless you've got intractable issues. Start with FemiWave, which is so much more mild and gentle and works effectively. And then if you're someplace where you can't go to get that, or you want to try something at home first, the product that I like is this vagina device. I don't know if you've seen this, Jamie. Have you seen the VFit Gold?
And not this one, but other devices similar.
Okay, good. Well, this one is my favorite that I have tried because it uses three modalities. It's you use it at home, 10 minutes in the morning, I'm drinking my latte, I'm scrolling my Instagram, I'm liking your posts, and I've got this in my vagina. It's red light therapy, photobiomodulation.
Love red light.
It uses warmth for recollagenation of the tissue rather than burning it. It uses warmth, which feels great, by the way. When this light goes off and it's over, you're like, oh, I want to do it again. But you don't want to overdo it. It's powerful. And it has vibration, not for orgasms, but for Kegel toning. So this vagina device, it really works well to reverse incontinence. It works well on the glycogen of the vaginal mucosa to get rid of odors that women have that aren't bacterial vaginosis or yeast infections or overgrowths of any kind. It works really well to thicken and stimulate the mitochondrial tissue of the vagina. It's just such a nice product. And I like to use this when I'm going to have intercourse with my husband before, like in the morning of a date that I'm going to have with him later. Because of all of the things that I use, this brings the most immediate blood flow to my vaginal mucosal lining so that I'm engorged for penetration. So vaginadevice.com is what this is. This is really nice. So the combination of the nitric oxide, the FemiWave, the vagina device, and the O-Shot, any or all of those things, depending on your budget and where you are with your atrophy, you will start to, you'll be like, oh my God, I'm having orgasms like I was 30. I didn't realize how much sensation I had lost. Wow, it's so much easier to get to orgasm now. I love vaginal restoration.
I love that. I mean, so much of this is like use it or lose it. And so a lot of times if women have gone a long period of time, they do need to kind of get back into getting that blood flow going. That's what that nitric oxide is for, getting those nerve endings firing again. It's super important. I love that.
And take your husband in for Gainswave and get him a penis pump because he needs to start pumping to reverse his atrophy, loss of firmness, loss of blood flow. I wrote a book called The Pump Guide. It's at pumpingguide.com. And it explains the Gainswave, which is the FemiWave equivalent, which it stimulates new tissue growth. The P shot, which is the Priapus shot, like the O shot for women. You can go get that done and get him a pump. I like something called the Whopper because it works for both length and girth atrophy issues, because guys get shorter and skinnier as they age, and mm-hmm. they lose firmness, and it goes by so slowly they don't even know they lost it. And then when they start pumping again, they're like, oh, whoa, I've got so much more firmness again. And when you, it's just like the mutual masturbation thing, when you start or incorporating sex toys into intercourse or having a solo pleasuring practice, when you start talking to your partner about these things and you're like, babe, I want you to pump. Now, I walked over to my husband's desk yesterday and he was working on his stuff and he had his pump and he was pumping while he was working. And I'm like, fantastic, babe. That is so good. I love how you're multitasking. Way to go. And it was so cute because after he pumped, one of the things you do when you pump your penis is right at the end, it comes with a leather strap that you strap at the base of the penis. You don't need to stay erect, but you want to hold the blood in for 30 minutes, no longer. But you want to hold the blood in for 30 minutes. And he comes over and he shows me, he drops his pants and he's like, look, doesn't this look good? And I'm like, oh, babe, that looks so good. Fantastic. I'm so proud of you. I encourage him to pump. I make it a normal thing. We don't have kids in the house anymore. Our daughter's 25. But when you encourage him to have good erectile function, he's so proud of himself. And that's what we need to do for our men, is make it okay for them to have what I like to call a banging boner. Because the more you have sex, the more you'll love intercourse, the more you engorge, the more you do these things, the more intercourse is going to be the thing you're wanting and you're making dates with him for.
I love it. I love it. Well, Susan, we could go on for like 3 hours and we're going to probably need another episode for sure.
Yeah.
So tell people how they can find your courses and products and things like that.
Sure. So I've given you a lot of links, like to various things, the Sex Life Bucket List, Pumping Guide. Those are good because you'll end up on my email newsletter and I send out sex techniques and all this stuff, you know, to you. You can even just get a once a week digest of all my articles. And you can unsubscribe anytime if you just want the thing and you want to be done. But you can also find me on Instagram at Susan Bratton. You can also find me at betterlover.com if you want to learn yoni massage or how to do passionate lovemaking, how to do a lingam massage, all kinds of things. They're PG-rated videos at betterlover.com. And then my main website is personallifemedia.com. And it has thousands of articles searchable by any keyword. So whatever's going on with you, I'll meet you there. That's what I'm here for. And I have so much free information because I do very well with my paid programs. Nobody ever has to buy anything from me, but you can if you want to, but there's so much there for you. So I do encourage you, if you're still listening to this, you are one of those people who cares about your sex life, and I'd love to have you in my world. So Jamie, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, first of all, to answer questions, which I love, and to get to meet you. You are just a gem, and I'd love to come back on, and I'd love to talk more about things like intercourse techniques, yoni massage. I'd like to get into some of the techniques to reframe the way we've been doing things and give you a bunch of really beautiful ideas to create more pleasure with your partner.
I love that. Yeah. Because the article that I pulled, you know, was talking about how to increase pleasure with penetrative intercourse, you know, how to make it more pleasurable for women. And it's pretty amazing in this study. I mean, we're talking 70, 80, 90% of women using these techniques to make penetrative intercourse better. And that's what I said, is women don't want to have sex because they're not having good sex.
Yep. Exactly.
So, well, Susan, this has been so delightful. Love you. And I love what you're doing for women. And I love that we're having this conversation because I'm a mom of 3 daughters, 7, 9, and 11. And I talk so openly about this on my social media and some people are so weirded out by it, but I just feel like if I can't have this conversation, they're like, who's having this conversation with people like my daughters, you know, who are, you know, I just think little girls, you know, we're just told to like, just, you know, put our sexuality in this little box and like, don't open it and don't show it to the world. And I'm like, I'm a professional, I'm a doctor. And I even get, you know, that lens from people sometimes. And it's like, listen, like I'm a human, I'm a creature. I have a sex life. Like, you know, like, so I just love that we can have this conversation so openly. And I know that I know the listeners are going to get so much out of this and people listening, share the podcast, send it to your girlfriends, send it to your boyfriends, send it to your partners, your mom, I don't care, whoever is going to find benefit, because we rely on all you listeners to help spread the messages that Susan and I talk about. So thank you so much.
Thank you.